The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I have Dr. Madahi on. He is a board-certified cosmetic dentist in Beverly Hills, woohoo, a best-selling author, founder of Luminu Oral Essentials, one of my favorite products. I'm kind of starstruck today, so don't mind me. And he has been in the gig for 33 years. He's created smiles for so many folks, including a lot of Hollywood's top stars. He's been on so many different television shows, the doctors even, so impressive. I'm lucky to have him on today. Dr. Madahi, welcome to The Health Fix.
Well, hello, Dr. Krause. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, I'm so happy to have you on. I want to learn a little bit about you, though. My podcast is much about finding the story behind the people just as much as what's going on. Of course, we're going to talk about oral health today and what that means for our overall health. But how did you get into cosmetic dentistry? What brought you to that industry?
Okay, so I want to do a little bit of a background, even what made me decide to become a dentist. So at age 13, I was trying to think with what type of a career I wanted to pursue. And I was surrounded by people in the healthcare profession. So my brother is a cardiologist, and my brother-in-law is an internist. My uncle is a general surgeon. I always loved to work with my hands and problem solve. So to me, the two best careers were either becoming a surgeon or becoming a dentist. And I saw the life of my uncle, where he was getting calls late at night, wee o'clock in the morning. I said, forget about that. I don't want to do that all day, all night. So dentistry was it. So that's how I decided to become a dentist. So then I go through dentistry. And after 10 years of being a general dentist, I see that the actual joy that I get out of dentistry is actually creating a new smile for somebody, giving them something that they've never had. And that act of creation brought so much satisfaction and so much joy to me. And that's how I ended up just exclusively doing cosmetic dentistry for the past 23 years.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And having, I was telling you a little bit before we jumped on the recording that I had Invisalign and I've looked at myself from before and after. And you know what? A smile does make a huge difference in your confidence and how you feel about yourself. And so you are in a profession where you're giving folks their life back in a way and you know, their confidence.
Absolutely. One of the main things that people always tell me when I do these smile makeovers, for people that are suffering from bad bite and they have to have a full mouth reconstruction, they say, you saved my life, or you gave me back my confidence. And you can see the radiation through their face, as well as how much more confident they are in terms of speaking and being out there. So it's truly a satisfactory type of a profession.
I love it. And folks, I'm going to put in the podcast notes at drjkrausend.com some of his clips that I was taking a look at from these transformation stories and a couple of them on the doctor show and things of that nature. So you'll have to take a look because it's pretty darn cool. So what took you from cosmetic dentistry to looking at oral health and trying to come up with a product line to help folks to take care of their mouths?
Yeah, I think that's the journey, I think, is the, again, from the beginning of becoming a dentist. I am a forward-thinking type of a person. So I graduated from USC, University of Southern California School of Dentistry, in 1987. By 1988, I already had computers in my office.
Wow.
I was one of the first people that started to do digital x-rays in 1996, and I was on different TV shows, news channels, as a dental expert, talking about you can have 90% less radiation using digital x-rays. You don't have to use biohazard material, such as fixers and developers that you are putting down the drain. and you're getting the actual x-ray on the computer within 3 seconds. And you can enlarge it, you can manipulate it so much better. Then there were the concept of digital bite recorders and digital cavity recorders using lasers. That's in 1988. So I'm always looking at the shortcomings of the industry itself. And I'm trying to figure out a way as to how I can go around this shortcoming and figure out a way that you can actually do a better service for the public and come out of the dark ages and the barbarism of dentistry itself. There are a lot of technology that's changing. And along this change, you start to look at also certain trends that are continually happening. So I just finished writing a book which is called The Toxic Overload.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is actually available today for the first time on Amazon.
Nice.
And this is a culmination of 20 years of research in terms of what is actually what the things that I started to see in my own practice. So one of the advantages of being in a profession for 33 years, you really get to see the spectrum of things that are happening and some of the changes that are taking place within the patient population and some of the issues that you're starting to see in terms of oral health or whole body health. So one of the initial things that I started to see in my practice was female doing a lot of clenching and grinding, mainly age 24 to 45.
Wow.
And I started to look into as to why, and the reason that I found at that time was the women were entering the workforce and there was a stress towards figuring out a way to get good jobs, equal pay, that type of a thing. So there was this whole new aspect of stress on women in particular. And I could see that there's a dramatic rise in people clenching and grinding their teeth. Then I started to see teeth sensitivity start to go up through the roof. When I started to look into teeth sensitivity, I started to see it was a combination of people doing more clenching and grinding, but believe it or not, the key aspect was whitening products because they had hydrogen peroxide. So in early 80s, the whole whitening craze comes along with doing whitening at home or in dental offices with the use of hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide, one of the side effects is sensitive teeth, the sensitivity with the teeth and also gum irritation. So I started to see that, but I was wondering why is there so much attention on teeth whitening until I found out something even more interesting. The craze in whitening coincides with explosion of Starbucks. So Starbucks starts to go up. People are consuming more tea and more coffee. And then later on, people get healthier habits, which is juicing, green juice, red juice. All of a sudden, the amount of staining starts to increase. As a result, the amount of whitening that people are using increases. And now they're using whitening toothpaste, whitening mouthwash, and using all sorts of the peroxide-containing products on a daily basis. As a result, there's more sensitivity. And then one other aspect that I thought that was very interesting is that for the first 15, 20 years of my practice, I didn't see many patients that were taking medications. Mm-hmm. So again, the patient population that I normally see is somewhere between 25 to 55, and very little people were taking medication. In the past 15 years, it's hardly I see any patients that are not on some sort of medication. And a lot of these medications have to do with anti-anxiety medication, antidepressants, some sort of a blood pressure, diabetes, all sorts of things. So I saw a rise in terms of what was happening in terms of medications with my patients. And then the other part of it, I saw a rise in autoimmune disease in my patients. It is now impossible for me to go through a week that I don't see multiple patients that also have some sort of autoimmune disease. So these types of trends is what really got me to look into what is going on in terms of the overall health. What's happening that now we're having more autoimmune disease, we have more sensitivity, we have all of those things. And what is the root cause? And then figure out a way around it. That was the main reason behind this.
Oh, man. I mean, I would have to say I'm seeing a lot of the same in my practice, too. So it's definitely a trend that I didn't think about, the advent of Starbucks, of course. And now, you know, everybody's drinking wine. There's so many more wineries than we ever had before. It makes sense that we would all have to try to figure out something for our teeth. But medications, now that's something that I've heard a lot about in terms of interactions with the oral microbiome, and antacids being a biggie in that department. Now, because we're going to talk a little bit of oral microbiome, and I want to geek out on that a little bit because I love talking about good bugs and all of that different stuff. What have you seen in terms of actual, besides sensitivity, what about in terms of more cavities or more periodontal disease? Has that also gone on the rise that you've noticed?
Yeah, so I think now we get into some of the correlations with what I was just discussing. So in terms of cavities, there is a tremendous rise in cavities, mainly due to dry mouth. Mm. And the dry mouth is one of the side effects of many medications. So if you go on the Center for Disease Control website and you put in dry mouth, the reasoning behind it, the top five reasons, starts with antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication, antipsychotics, high blood pressure medication, diabetic medication, allergy medications. So this rise in medication started to cause dry mouth because all of these medications interfere with a neurotransmitter in the brain called acetylcholine, which regulates saliva. Saliva is your natural defense mechanism that fights off cavity. And once the flow of saliva goes down, cavity-causing bacteria, which are the Streptococcus mutans, start to rise. As a result, you will get uncontrolled cavities very quickly and are recurrent cavities. And that would be the segment of the population, be it mouth breathers, be it people that have allergies all the time, or people that are on medications. So also the rate of allergies has gone up. So that's also is playing a role into the dry mouth. And people think by drinking water, they're actually hydrating. It actually exacerbates the dry mouth problem, mainly because water cannot replace saliva. So saliva is what has the natural antibiotics in it. So the more water you drink, because you have very little saliva, it dilutes it even further. So it doesn't really help with what's happening in the mouth. So I do ask a lot of questions from my patients, like asking them, do you get up in the middle of the night to drink water? Do you drink water the first thing you get up in the morning because your mouth is dry? Because a lot of people are suffering from dry mouth and they don't even know it. So that's the rise in terms of cavities. Then I started to see a rise in terms of inflammation. So it became hardly almost 80-85% of the patients that I was seeing, their gums either had slight inflammation, bleeding, or the color was no longer pink. So I started to look into it, and the patients that had really pink gum, I would ask them two questions. Are you vegetarian? 50% of the time they would say yes. Mm. The other 50% of the time was the second question, do you eat organic food? So people that eat organic, grass-fed, non-antibiotic, no hormonal type of injections into the meat, or they were vegans, they had very pink gums. So that was the other effect that I started to see, and this constant inflammation, and then the rise of gum disease, mainly due to, I didn't know at the time, but it's mainly due to destruction of the good bacteria that's in the mouth, which is our microbiome. So people get into this subject of good bacteria, bad bacteria. So I want to really start and set the record straight with pure facts. When I was researching and I was trying to figure out a way as how to protect the microbiome, oral microbiome for that matter, I was not looking to alter the actual flora, microflora in the mouth. So people told me, how about probiotics or prebiotics and all of these things inside the mouth? And my answer to them was, why do we have to alter what is there? I don't want to destroy it. I don't want to change it. I want to protect it. My goal is protection rather than do something else to it. So inside the mouth, I am against probiotics. I am against anything that would alter what is going on inside your mouth. The second reason, the bad bacteria are gram-negative bacteria. The gram-negative bacteria have an endotoxin within the cell wall. So there's toxin that is inside the cell wall. So this is besides what they secrete, they also have it within their cell wall, whereas the good bacteria do not have any toxin within their cell walls. When you kill harmful gram-negative bacteria, the endotoxin gets released. Mm-hmm. So now you have even further problem due to the release of the endotoxins in your mouth that can enter your blood system and can also be swallowed. So this was the main thought process, is I don't really care about good and bad. I want to protect and not destroy anything. Then find out what else is it that I can do. And I think the obsession with killing bacteria has actually come from a misconception. The misconception is, we need antibiotic if there is an infection. Otherwise, there's no need for any antibiotic, because your body has a system that can fight off different types of bacteria that would cause infection. It is only when the body is overwhelmed by the bacteria that an actual infection is happening that you might need some help. But that is such a rarity in terms of the amounts of time that something's happening to you that you actually need an antibiotic. But instead, we are taking antibiotics and antimicrobial products on a daily basis. Our mouthwash is killing and destroying the entirety of the microbiome inside the mouth. Our toothpaste does the same thing. Our hand sanitizers destroys the microbiome on our hands. The meat that we eat, 98% of the meat that we eat has antibiotic in it and is destroying the gut microbiome. So you are being inundated with some forms of antibiotic on a daily basis, multiple times during the day. So your body's response to infection has changed, and it has become more inflammatory rather than trying to get rid of infection. Everything is inflammation, inflammation, inflammation. Therefore, the rise of autoimmune disease, rise of inflammation in our body is mainly due to this type of a destruction. that's taking place on a daily basis.
That is, I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned that in terms of not going on a killing rampage over all of these different things that are growing in our body that naturally should maybe be there as and different levels. I'm a huge fan of leaving things be, but also finding what can protect, like you mentioned. And yeah, with the rise of all the autoimmunity, this is something that if we're going to kill things and add more endotoxins, we're going to end up with more inflammation in that person's body than they started with. So finding a way to protect their oral microbiome and gut microbiome, if we go that far, is huge. We're doing a service versus a disservice in that case.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you go about finding the products that you used in your Lumineux line? So there's mint, there's different things in their coconut oil. I'd love to hear about how you chose what you wanted to put in there in terms of being protective for the oral microbiome.
Okay, so with that, I would like to start with a study, mm-hmm. which is the cornerstone study to all of my thinking. This study was done about 18 years ago. It was a 10-year study done by one of my colleagues who happens to be my chief scientific officer at the company. He did a 10-year study on homeless kids in Manila. And these homeless kids were suffering from early juvenile periodontitis. That means that at a very early age, they're having gum disease, mainly due to a bacteria called AA bacteria. AA bacteria infects 1.5 billion people in the world. And it has a very specific characteristic. It damages the gum and the bone on the upper four and lower four front teeth and your back molars. The rest of the mouth is okay. So you see a lot of people, especially when you travel to Asia, Middle East, South America, that when they smile, they have these long-looking teeth because they have bone loss around it. They are suffering from this particular antibiotic, a particular bacteria called AA bacteria.
Interesting.
So he took these kids and he told them to rub sea salt on their gum twice a day. And imagine a study of 10 years on homeless kids rubbing sea salt on their gum. And what he found at the end of 10 years, that the disease had stopped, yet the AA bacteria was still alive. So this is the moment that we have to really look at. It's not the bacteria. There's something more to this equation than the bacteria. Let's not go indiscriminately killing bacteria, thinking we're actually going to get rid of a problem. So his hypothesis at the time was that it's the toxins of the bacteria. But we didn't have any way of actually proving that hypothesis, because believe it or not, nobody does bacterial toxin study. They do studies as to how to kill the bacteria, but not to how to neutralize its toxins. So I went about doing research on different salts. So table salt, which is the worst salt in the world, man-made, has 98% is salt and 2% minerals. It has a dehydrating effect and it kills the bacteria in your mouth. So if you rinse your mouth with salt water, table salt water, you're not doing yourself a favor. When you go to sea salt, there's 20% minerals and 80% salt. And that mineral does not dehydrate the bacteria, but it stops the growth of bacteria. That's why sea salt for hundreds of years was used as a way, as a preservative, when people were traveling and there were no refrigeration. So they would get them meat, fish, they would put it, wrap it in sea salt, and that's how it was preserved. Then there's Himalayan salt, which is 40% minerals and 60% salt. And then Dead Sea salt, which is 86% minerals and 14% salt. Our teeth are made out of minerals. So the goal was to find a salt with a very high mineral content. But the main problem with Dead Sea salt is such a horrible tasting salt that nobody can actually try to rinse their mouth with it. So having found the proper salt with all of its health benefits, I started to build other ingredients around it that are actually good for you. So when we're talking about gum disease, the gum disease that we're talking about, it has nothing to do with age. Gum disease is a process of inflammation that turns into disease. So without inflammation, you cannot have the disease at the end. The inflammatory stage is called gingivitis. That's just bleeding gums. You can reverse gingivitis. Because you can reverse gingivitis, what that means is that if you reverse gingivitis early enough, it should never develop into gum disease. So the goal was, what happens that we get inflammation? That was the plaque buildup around our teeth that had some of these harmful bacteria in it. So one of the ways that I found out to decrease the plaque was use of essential oils. It has an anti-plaque activity. It breaks up the plaque. So I started to use, first of all, three types of mints, which is the spearmint, wintergreen mint, spearmint and the wintergreen and peppermint. Then I wanted to handle bad breath at its root cause, which was best handled with clove and basil. Now, if you ask me what would be the best breath freshener, would be ginger.
Interesting.
However, when you use ginger in the mouthwash, it makes it so bad tasting that nobody would want to use it on a daily basis. So the goal is to come up with a certain types of ingredients that are good for you, that are effective, but at the same time, they're good tasting as well. Otherwise, people won't use it. Otherwise, you cannot change an industry. You will be a niche forever. So these were the criteria that I was after. And then I also added aloe vera juice, organic aloe vera juice, mainly because of its soothing effect. And then xylitol, because it starves the cavity-causing bacteria, because they cannot process xylitol. They can process all sorts of other sugars. So this was the basic mouthwash that I first came up with. And then I started to look into the whitening effect. Now, being a cosmetic dentist, what I also saw is even the office whitening that I was doing, that I'm charging hundreds of dollars for, after a month, the results were gone because of increased consumption of red wine and the coffee and tea and the green and red juice. So I felt like there has to be a maintenance program minimally to keep people's teeth white when there is such an inundation of staining happening every single day. And that's why I came up with a mouthwash, toothpaste, and whitening strip program that had their signature ingredients were coconut oil, sage oil, and lemon peel oil. They're all basic. There's nothing acidic. And that's what the whitening agent became, at the proper dosages and also proper interaction with the Dead Sea salt that was in there. Then for people that had sensitivity, I increased the amount of Dead Sea salt to get more mineral coating on their teeth. And then for the people that were suffering from dry mouth, I got a combination of coconut oil, grape seed oil, and then cayenne pepper oil as an irritant to increase saliva flow. So this is how I took care of the entire population, be it they want gum and tooth health, whitening, dry mouth, or sensitivity. That was the whole genesis behind the idea. Now, it's one thing you come up with the idea. The other thing is, how do you prove it's an actual effective product? This may come as a crazy experiment because all the people that I approached, they told me you got to be crazy to want to do this. But what I did was I took each of my products and went to a university lab at University of California, Irvine. I told them that I want you to do independent studies on my products against the gold standard in dentistry. So for whitening, it was the Crest. For sensitivity, was Sensodyne. For dry mouth, was Biotin. And for gum disease, was Peridex, which is the only FDA-approved mouthwash with chlorhexidine. So she said, have you ever done these tests yourself? I said, no. She says, you want me to do a double-blinded, independent university study that's going to be published without you knowing the results prior to the experiment? I said, absolutely. So, and she said that, how do you want the study to be designed? I said, I do not want to design the study. I want you to research what is a gold standard in each of these categories in terms of study design, because I don't want to influence the study in any way possible, because I'm after to make sure if this product is actually effective or not. And if it isn't, I have to figure out a way to make it effective. So that's what we did. So initially, we sent all of our products to a government lab in France called Lemmy Lab that does the toxicology studies for EU. Mm-hmm. And their standards is much higher than United States. So all of our products came out certified non-toxic. So we are the only certified non-toxic oral care product in the world, number one. Number two, then we did the head-to-head studies. And each of the studies, we proved that we're as good as the gold standard without having any harsh chemicals, without having any side effects of acidity, staining, or sensitivity, gum irritation, any of these things. So that was the second part of the whole thing as to making sure that the products are both safe and effective. So if you ask me what was the main reason for going through and creating these products, first of all, if you want to create a consumer product, you've got to be out of your mind the amount of time and money it takes to create and try to market these products is so much that people with absolutely a lot of money in their world that want to burn through want to do these type of things. But nevertheless, I felt like no one else was going to do it. I truly felt, because of very few simple things that I started to see in the oral care products, I started to understand that no one is actually interested in a safe and effective product. First of all, why would you want to add an artificial coloring to mouthwashes to make it blue, purple, yellow, green? Artificially, you add it to it with something that you know has toxicity in it in order to sell your product. That's the only reason. There is absolutely not a single reason why you need it. Second, why would you put denatured alcohol in the mouthwash where you know it causes dry mouth, it's poisonous? They are telling you if you swallow it, you should not swallow it. And if you swallow it, seek medical help. Why would you want to use a product like that? It makes no sense. The FDA-approved product causes taste bud damage. it causes severe staining on the teeth and is acidic. This is what our healthcare providers are giving their patients and recommending to their patients. And these are the patients that are taking it on a daily basis. Oral care products are in a category of themselves because you can hardly find anything that you really do two or three times a day, like your oral care products. And destruction of microbiome each and every time, and introducing toxic ingredients into your body each and every time, makes no sense. That is the reason why I was driven, actually, to figure out a way to find a product or create a product that is both safe and effective. So that's the answer to that question.
I love it. I love it. I think, I mean, it's huge because you're pushed on these products. I've seen it myself, even going to the dentist and here's your goodie bag and you've got your sample of your mouthwash that's whatever color and you've got your toothpaste and you've got, you know, anything and everything that you could possibly think of. And most people don't even question that these things could be toxic. I actually questioned my dentist about it and ended up not seeing that dentist anymore because she was convinced that I was crazy by telling her I didn't want her mouthwash. I'm like, I don't want your mouthwash. It's not going to help me. It's going to make me worse.
Yeah. And you know what? The other part of the problem. So if I were to tell you the problem is also the natural products have not done any good service for the people either. The main issue for that is that natural products lack any clinical studies. Mm-hmm. And so I can tell you, you can rinse your mouth with organic apple juice every day and it's very safe. But what does it do for you? What's the effectiveness of organic apple juice in terms of oral health? There isn't any. So the issue with the sort of the natural products is lack of effectiveness. And the issue with the mainstream products is the toxicity. So these are the two things you have on either side. Mm-hmm. So far to date, we have done 51 clinical studies.
Wow.
We are now into deep research, and I want to highlight two of them that I think your listeners are going to be very much interested in. One is I was talking about autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. Autoimmune disease has inflammatory markers. These inflammatory markers, there's two in particular that you see it all over the body. One is called TNF-alpha and the interleukin beta 1b is the other one. People that have asthma, they have tremendous amount of these inflammatory markers. So I started to look as to where is the origination of some of these inflammatory markers. And believe it or not, because of gum disease, you have chronic inflammation inside your mouth. More than 50% of the people have some sort of a gum disease already. This is chronic inflammation where you have these chronic inflammatory markers around the tooth, around the gums, that any bleeding makes the inflammatory marker get into the bloodstream and go all over your body. So one of the studies that I was trying to do was I was interested to see if you use my mouthwash and my toothpaste, does it impact the inflammatory markers? So these are university studies. We did that and we found significant decrease in inflammatory marker of TNF-alpha and interleukin-1-beta in the patients that use the products for a month.
Wow. That's huge. That's really huge.
This is now deep research. This is not someone who's trying to prove their product is good. This is someone who's trying to prove the oral systemic relationship and wants to make the person healthier. And we are saying what's happening inside your mouth is impacting the body because it is the initial entrance of bacteria, viruses into your body, plus is the initial phase of digestion is happening inside the mouth. So if we are somehow having problems or issues inside the mouth, there's going to be some sort of a systemic correlation. Now, recent research has shown the connection between gum disease, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer, colorectal cancer, lung disease. Why is it that so many things, there's a correlation with what's happening in the mouth? Because your mouth is a source of constant infection when you're talking about gum disease. Constant chronic inflammation that your body's resources are constantly going up to actually fight. So good oral hygiene habits are important, and proper products and the protection of the microbiome is what's important. So that study showed the, again, these inflammatory markers, where they are and how it could spread and how we could decrease it at the source. That's one area. The other area was our toxin studies. So we started to look at the AA bacterial toxin, strep mutans toxin, and P. gingivalis toxin. P. gingivalis causes gum disease. Strep mutans causes cavities. AA bacteria causes juvenile periodontitis. And then we also looked at the endotoxin of the gram-negative bacteria. And we used our products, the mouthwash and the toothpaste. And what we found was very interesting. We are able to neutralize somewhere between 84 to 90% of the toxins of strep mutans, AA bacteria, and P. gingivalis. These are the ones that are cavity causing. These are the ones that are gum disease causing. But the endotoxin, which comes from killing the bad bacteria, we could only neutralize 48% of it. It goes to show you again, let's not destroy these bacteria. Let's not end up with these endotoxins because they're even so much more difficult to neutralize inside the body. So that was our toxin study. And everything that I tell you, all of the studies are actually on our website, oralessentials.com, under studies. Every single study is there.
Great.
yeah, and then a study that's going to sort of shock you is the one we just completed 2 weeks ago. So we had participants, this is again at the University of California, Irvine clinical study. We had our participants divided into two groups. One group would rinse their mouth with Listerine for 60 seconds, and they would, and then another group, they would rinse their mouth with my mouthwash for 60 seconds. After 30 seconds, we would take blood samples and look at the amount of alcohol and dye in their blood. And then we would retest after 5 minutes. So after 30 seconds, we detected the alcohol, the denatured alcohol that's in Listerine already in the bloodstream after 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, we detected dyes that were part of the dye in the Listerine already in the bloodstream. That what was even more interesting, that after 5 minutes, there was more dye in the bloodstream than initially.
Huh.
There was continual absorption into the blood. Whereas the, because we do not have any dyes and we don't have any alcohol, there was zero on our end. So people think just because they rinse their mouth with something, or they brush their teeth with something, there is no absorption. I knew this was not true, mainly from my brother, who is a cardiologist. He would tell his patients, put nitroglycerin pills underneath your tongue if you feel like you have chest pain.
Yeah.
Not swallow it, put it under your tongue. The rate of absorption into your bloodstream is so much faster than if you swallow the pill. Vitamin B12 is under your tongue. So people don't understand the amount of vascularization that's inside your mouth that absorbs everything in it. And it passes it into your bloodstream and into all sorts of organs in your body. So this study showed how rapidly things get absorbed into our body. Just from rinsing and spitting out, you already get it absorbed into your bloodstream. So this is our recent study.
Wow, that's an impressive study. I love all the studies. I'm a data geek. And so you better believe I'm going to be putting this out to everybody, because, you know, there's so many patients out there that it's hard to figure out what's wrong with them. It's hard to nail down a good treatment for them. And possibly their oral health could be the missing link to getting them better.
Yeah. So in this particular book that I just put out, I started first of all to describe, because there's many people are not familiar with the microbiome, especially in the mouth. Mm-hmm. So I start to tell them that the microbiome is actually your first line of defense all over your body. So on your skin, in your eyes, in your nose, in your ears, in your mouth, in your gut, and also in the birth canal. There is the microbiome. In order for your immune system to get activated, you have to have an active infection or an active inflammation. Active infection and inflammation takes time. So something else has to be protecting you at all times prior to getting inflammation and infection. What is it? It's the microbiome. And how does the microbiome protect you? Because a lot of people don't understand, how does bacteria protect you? And I tell them, there's 100 trillion bacteria to 10 trillion human cells. So do you have more bacteria actually than human cells in your body? We are bacteria. We are made out of bacteria, number one. Number two, the reason why we don't bleed to death is because of vitamin K production due to bacteria in our body. That's the anticoagulation. The mood of dependent on the neurotransmitters of dopamine and serotonin in the brain is either produced or stimulated, or the production is stimulated with gut microbiome. Digestion, biotin, there's so many functions that are vital to us that is actually handled by bacteria. And so this microbiome is what is actually protecting us, because they're taking up space and they're not letting the bad bacteria adhere and colonize on our body. That's what they're trying to do. So when you destroy it, you leave empty space for the bad bacteria to actually adhere and now spread. That's why we want to protect the microbiome. That's one. The other thing, the microbiome has a symbiotic relationship with your immune system. What it does, it controls the amount of antigens that these harmful bacteria and viruses are producing. So the body can actually create antibodies against them and have them under control very rapidly. That is done between the relationship between the microbiome and your immune system. So that's what I'm trying to talk about in the book. That's what I'm trying to talk about in terms of the oral systemic relationship, autoimmune disease. And then there is a part at the end, how in 30 days you can have a healthier life. And what are the type of foods and products you want to actually not use and not eat in terms of food and diet, in order to protect your body in terms of its microbiome so it can do what it's supposed to do.
I love it. I love it. That's what I was going to ask you about. Is there something about food and what to avoid, what to have in? But we don't want to give that away. We want folks to get your book. So where can folks find your book, Dr. Madahi?
So on Amazon, it just came out today. It's called The Toxic Overload by Dr. Kurush Madahi.
Perfect. So everybody, you need to head over there. I'm going to be getting the book. It'll be in my office for sure, because I think this is a big topic and I think we're focusing way too much on killing. I agree with you. I see it a lot on this podcast. And I think a lot of too many folks are focusing on the gut and not the mouth. So got to get the first point of contact there. So everybody go over to drjkrausnd.com. I will have the link to The Toxic Overload that you can find on Amazon. We'll also have Dr. Madahi's website so that if you want to go read those studies, the oralessentials.com/studies.
That's studies. And then they can also see the products as well and see the ingredients of all of the products as well.
Perfect. And if you're lucky enough in the Beverly Hills area, you've got a great cosmetic dentist right there in your backyard. And so I'm kind of jealous in that department. He is definitely well-versed, knows his stuff. And I am just so happy that you were able to come on today and chat with me. Thank you so much, Dr. Madahi.
Dr. Krause, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much. I really want to thank you for what you do by putting this information out there. You are a point of dissemination of information to all the listeners, all the people that are sort of at crossroads as to they don't know what's going on. They're confused. They're dealing with chronic issues that no one can really truly find out what the cause is. So your podcast is an amazing tool for these people to get proper information. So I thank you very much.
Wow. That's the mission here. So thank you. We'll put that out. We'll also put out Lumenu products as well. They're my favorite. And I'm still blushing because you guys have no idea how much I think Dr. Madahi's awesome. So check out my notes. You'll get a hold of those Lumenu products.
Hey, Health Junkies. Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausnd.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.